Others.
Riverdance.
Riverdance. Why the Riverdance?
Because it's so fast-paced.
Okay, yeah. Life goes quickly. And yeah, good.
You know those dances in the club where everybody's just jumping and not really any moves in anywhere else? It's just crazy. That's what my life is doing.
Okay. Okay. Put your hands in the air like you just don't care?
No, that, no. Okay.
Yeah, a mosh or a
mosh.
Yeah, okay, not a lot of order. Hi, yeah, boom. Okay, good. How about Dancing with the Stars?
No.
I actually think the reason why a text like Matthew 11, 28 to 30, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I actually think one of the reasons why this text comes to us as good news is because life feels, and often is like, we are all living through our own episode of Dancing with the Stars. Think about this, or any other kind of these types of, you know, American Idol, any of these other types of shows, where we come out for judges, and we're trying to learn something new, or trying to do something, and we perform. And then the judges tell us, hey, that was great. Or they tell us, that was terrible. And either way, whether it was great or it was terrible, there's always yet one more episode. There's one more performance that we have to come out tomorrow, or the next day, or the next week. And we start all over again. And it's either, hey, that was great. Or it was either, hey, that was terrible. And whatever the result is, however we feel about ourselves, whatever we accomplish, we have to come out the next day and the next week and do the same thing over and over and over again. And no matter what they say, whether it's good or it's bad, it's never enough. It's never done. It's never over. We feel this in our work. We feel this in our play. We feel this in our relationships. We're performing for some judge or judges somewhere. And so when we hear a word like rest, when Jesus says, come to me, you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Or when we hear teaching like the Sabbath, God saying in Exodus 20, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Remember to stop and to rest, to set aside a day the way I have created all of the world to set aside a day, to stop and to rest. We hear this and it sounds so good. And yet because we're living in this dancing with the stars kind of universe, all we really hear in the word rest is reprieve, not true rest. It's kind of like when we're on vacation and you have a week of vacation, or let's say you went really crazy and you got 2 weeks of vacation. What's the usual emotional arc of vacation? First couple days, I'm so exhausted. It's just great to sleep in, to hang out with my family, to do whatever I want to do. I'm not really worried about things. And then if it's a week, you get to about Wednesday. And you're finally kind of starting to feel like I can sleep through, you know, I'm sleeping and I'm feeling kind of present with the people around me and I'm feeling fresh. And then what happens about Wednesday afternoon? You start going, wait a minute, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'm already halfway through my vacation. And then you start thinking about all the stuff you let go of to come on vacation and all the things you've got to pick up when you get back from vacation. Oh, yeah, that's right. We haven't done our taxes yet. We've got that chip in the windshield of our car. I left some things undone at work, and now I'm remembering I got to do that again. Here's a whole other set of problems, you know, in relationships back home that I've kind of, you know, escape from. And then what happens on Thursday, Friday, Saturday? You start this mild sense of dread about coming back to your real life. That's not rest. That's simply reprieve. It's simply hitting the pause button, but you got to come back and perform for the judges all over again, don't you? But Jesus uses, when Jesus says, rest, come to me, you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Jesus is referring to this bigger, broader biblical tradition with the word rest. That's something entirely different from reprieve. It's actually an invitation to participate in a world that's totally set apart from this Dancing with the Stars reality. He's inviting us to come and to participate in something like what we see in the book of Genesis. Like what we see when, after God creates the heavens and the earth in 6 days, God then rests on the seventh day, tells us in Genesis chapter 1, going into the beginning of chapter 2. And how we usually read this is that God was so tired from all of this creating that then God had to take a breather, you know, catch his breath on day 7. And so God now invites us to take a breather to, you know, on our day 7 as well, understanding that we're working so hard the other 6 days. But I think that's a poor reading of the text. And that's not at all the kind of imagination that's in Genesis chapter 1. You see, Genesis chapter 1 doesn't give us a picture of God laboring to create. God speaks, and it is, and he calls it good. Then God speaks again, and it is, and he calls it good. The creation isn't this laborious act of God, this mundane kind of drudgery of, oh, I guess today I got to create the fish, and then tomorrow I've got to... The creation is like this explosion of abundance and joy. It's Father, Son, and Spirit, and eternal joy and communion, giving life to something outside of themselves for the pure enjoyment of it, for the sake of love. Because love is necessarily multiplying. Love always multiplies itself. So in the beginning, Father, Son, and Spirit, out of joy and for love, create all that exists. And on the sixth day, create the male and the female to participate with God in the care of all creation. And then on the seventh day, God rests. Because God created all things for the sake of relationship. And all relationships need moments of rest. All of our meaningful relationships take place side by side and face to face. There's rhythms of working side by side, putting our shoulder to the plow, so to speak, in order to accomplish something meaningful. All relationships require some kind of side by side engagement, working together for the sake of accomplishing a common goal. But all relationships also require times of sitting face to face, of speaking and listening, of sitting around a table and sharing a meal, of looking at one another, bearing with the burdens of one another. All relationships require side by side and face to face. And so God, in creating this amazing world built upon relationships, interaction, speaking and listening, even the atoms and the molecules, even the stuff of our universe, bonds, exists in relationship with each other. There is no matter apart from molecules and atoms bonding to one another. There's no way to be human apart from relationship with one another and relationship with God. And so God rests on day 7, not to catch his breath, but to engage relationship, to sit face to face, to speak, to listen, to go for a walk, to share a meal. You see, the kind of dance that we see in the book of Genesis, the kind of dance that we see leading up to day 7 and the rest of God, the Sabbath rest of God, is not a performance before a judge where there's always one more thing to do, where our value is weighted based on what we accomplish. No, perhaps the better picture of the universe God creates is something like a wedding dance, where whether you can dance or not, you're invited to participate. And there's no judgment. There's the good dancers and there's the bad dancers, but everybody's invited to participate, the kids to the very old. And it's a moment of celebration, of being together. In the beginning, when we existed in harmony with one another and with God, there could be rest. Because rest is based on relationship. On not feeling like we have to perform for one another. On not feeling like there's always just one more thing to make our lives complete. But rest is based on that sense of belonging, of participation, of trust. Jesus promises to give rest, not only reprieve. But the problem is that we live now in a broken world. The problem is that after our rebellion from God, after our rejection of God's lordship, God's rule, we live in a world that's full of ambition and anxiety. And our ambition and our anxiety applies throughout all of our lives. It's not just that we feel as though we're performing before judges, but we place that upon ourselves. We teach that to our kids. We learn it from our jobs. We even practice it in our religion. And so part of the biblical story in relationship to rest is that when God commands Israel to rest on the seventh day, what Israel does with that command is turn it into a dancing with the stars kind of command. And so the question is, well, how can we rest really, really well so that we really, really please God? So that when God judges us, he's really, really happy with us. And so Israel created a whole set of rules on either side of the Sabbath command. You could do certain things and you couldn't do certain things, down to the point of if you had a sick animal, if you had an animal that fell into a pit, this is an example from the Gospels. If you have an animal that fell into a pit on the Sabbath and it might die, you could pull it out. But if you were, let's say, a miracle worker and somebody came to you and needed healing, well, that would be a little too much work to be Sabbath. So you can't heal a person, but you can pull an animal out of a pit. That would be one way that they sort of parse out the rule in order to make sure that they can achieve their Sabbath rest properly. But we could think of lots of examples in our own life where we live out our religious lives. We live out our life in the church, our spiritual lives, as though we're performing for some judge somewhere. The judges being one another and perhaps also God. And so ambition and anxiety become part of our church experience as well. And it's into the midst of this. It's into the midst of this broken world where all we can get is reprieve from the Dancing with the Stars judges. All we can get is a momentary touching of the pause button before we have to rush back into our life where we never seem to measure up. And there's always one more thing to do. It's into the midst of this that Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Come to me and take my yoke upon you. You see, Jesus was this strange combination of vigorous activity and being fully at rest in both who he was as one called and gifted by God, and what God had called and what God had promised and given him to do. Jesus is this picture of vigorous activity, doing the things that were laid before him, healing those that came to him, teaching the things that God had put upon his heart, and yet never anxious, never allowing his own ambition to get in front of the thing that God had asked him to do. Never playing to the judges, whether religious or otherwise. Being fully at rest, fully trusting what God had in the God that had called him and created him. And so Jesus becomes our picture of what it looks like to live a fully human life, not for the Dancing with the Stars judges, but rather as a participation in this dance that's at the center of the universe of Father, Son, and Spirit. And Jesus now invites us as those that are weary and burdened, as those that feel like there's always one more thing to do and we perhaps might not measure up in the end, invites us to come to him and to take his yoke upon us. A yoke being a picture of, the piece of wood, a bar that binds two beasts of burden together to go plow the fields. It's a picture of connecting ourselves to the way and the life of Jesus, to learn from Jesus how we might go and live our lives. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Don't take upon you the yoke that you've learned from your parents, from your religious leaders, from your own anxiety, your own ambition, from your workplace. Don't take that yoke upon yourself anymore. It's too heavy. You won't measure up. There is always one more thing to do. There is no peace. There is no rest. So take, there's only reprieve. So take my yoke upon you. Walk in the way I walk. Learn from me how to trust in the good gifts of the Father. Participate with me as I go and live in this broken, Dancing with the Stars kind of world. Jesus is offering us a new vision, a new way of life, a new kind of imagination for how the world works, even as we live in this old world that seems to wear us down. For Jesus is gentle and humble of heart. His burden is light, because it's the burden we were always meant to carry, which is one in relationship, dynamic relationship with God, walking side by side and sitting face to face, and in renewed relationship with one another, walking side by side as we go out into God's world to participate in the good things that God is doing, and yet also sitting around the table face to face, speaking and listening to one another, learning what it means to be community and not rivals. We're going to spend all of Lent wrestling with this issue of Sabbath and what it means for us to rest. And wherever we can, we're going to point to the life of Jesus as our example. Because Sabbath rest is not about getting a rule correct. It's not going to be something that we can achieve. It's not going to be something that if we set all the right boundaries in place, we'll finally learn what it is to rest. All that will be is reprieve, if we're lucky. Sabbath rest, because we are in this dancing with the stars kind of world, can only be found when we get the relationship right, when we respond to the invitation of Jesus to walk with him, to learn from him, to follow him, to learn how to trust in the Father the way he trusted in the Father, to learn how to love others the way he learned how to love, the way he taught us to love others. The rest of God is only found in relationship with God. And just like a wedding dance, as awkward, as incapable as we might feel, as new to this faith thing we might think we are, as new to this discipleship thing as we think, there's no better or worse way. We just simply respond to the invitation and begin to participate, to hear the music the way Jesus hears the music, to just entrust ourselves that his way is the way of rest and of peace. So let us enter into this journey with a sense of humor and humility, trusting that we don't have to get it right. We just have to learn to listen and learn to follow. So come to Jesus to take his yoke upon us and walk with him and receive the rest rooted in trust and grace, the gift of God's life.